from just those gospel tracts. No telling at the hand you'll shake over on that golden shore by just that ministry you got, Brother Deals. And I'm thankful for it. I'm glad I know some people that's in the old-time way still. You know, we're living in the day when people's drifted into the world. But I'm thankful that there's a place on the side of a country road that still stands for the old paths.
Amen, brother.
It's not the King James Version. It's the King James Bible. Amen. Was aggravating that sister back there about reading that NIV. But, you know, that stuff's it's out of the pits of hell. You know, Satan persecuted the early church by physical persecution. But I believe that's one way he's persecuting our day is by these perverted versions. So I'm thankful for the Word of God. Thankful for that song y'all sung, Just One Way to the Gate. You know, 2 years ago this month, I was strung out and addicted to alcohol and drugs. I was lost and on my way to hell or prison. I'm talking 6'3", about 170 pounds. On my way to hell or prison, in and out of jail, had no hope. It went so far that my folks had gave up on me. They told me to go on. Change the door locks on the house. I've woke up in other states and not really had an idea how I got there. You look at me and you say, well, you don't look like that. Well, you know, we had storms come through Lake Burton last year, and from right here you can't really tell that that's what happened. But I'm here to tell you the God's honest truth that 2 years ago this month, Brother Deals, I was strung out and on my way to hell. And my grandparents, they come by and got me. And they took me to an old-fashioned, Bible-believing Baptist church. I can remember getting in the car and we was headed to meeting, and it felt like the world was on my shoulders. I didn't know what was going on. It felt like somebody was choking me. I knew something was going on, but I didn't know what it was. And I walked through the back doors of that church, and my grandparents asked me if I wanted to go pray with the men before the meeting. And I went back there in the prayer room and got to praying with them men, and I was lost, and I wanted so bad to stand up and tell them that I was on my way to hell, but I was under such conviction I couldn't say nothing. And somehow or another I made it back out to the front of the church. I don't remember what the choir sung, and I don't remember really what the man of God preached, but when he gave his invitation, I slid into an old-fashioned altar. Hey, I don't remember what I prayed, neighbor, but when I got up, I didn't have to go to no AA clinic. I didn't have to go to Larwood. Hey, I ain't smoked no cigarette since. I ain't drunk no beer since. I ain't done no dope since. I'm glad it's still real, folks. Hey, we're not here about some fairy tale. This ain't something that somebody, you know, put together. I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad I know that this thing's real. He's talking about that sister that's done gone on. I'm glad that there's a glad reunion day just right around the corner. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that there is a heaven. You know, I'm glad that I know that I know that that's where I'm headed. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for the old time way. I'm thankful. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 17. Not going to preach nothing you've never heard this evening, but the Bible does say to stir up your minds by remembrance. Exodus chapter number 17, if you don't mind, we'll stand in reverence of God's holy Word. I know it's just a Wednesday night service, but I do believe that the Lord can help us. Amen. Exodus chapter number 17, the Bible says in verse number 1 that all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Verse number 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. Verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Verse number 7 says, "And when he called the name of the place, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not?" Verse 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Come us out, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up the hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, God, this evening, Lord, God, for another opportunity, God, to be back in Your house. Lord, I'm thankful, God, for a place, Lord, where we can, Lord, distance ourselves from the world, Lord, and Lord, worship You. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for the songs this evening, Lord, and the fellowship. God, I'm thankful for these people, Lord, that come out on a Wednesday night, Lord, to hear Your Word. God, I pray, Lord, You'd use us tonight, God, to help Your people, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that God, You'd just touch me, Lord, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, Lord. Fill me, Lord, full of the Holy Ghost. Help me to preach, Lord. God, I stand, Lord, where I failed You before, Lord, and unless You show up, God, I'll make a mess, Lord, and I need You tonight. Help us, Lord, in a mighty way, God, to help Your people, Lord. And we'll be careful to give You all the thanks, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, we've all read this story down through the years of Bible studying, and we all know the background, but we'll go ahead and give you another background of the story. You know, Moses, God had used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. You know, and that's a type of, you know, salvation can be. And out of the bondage of Egypt, He brought them to the Red Sea, and God brought them through that into the wilderness, amen. And they get to the wilderness, and they're faced with all these battles. And I mean, they get in the wilderness, and they get thirsty with the Lord. He springs up wells, amen. Y'all have read the story, and water just comes by the abundance. Well, after they go through that, they get to a place where they get hungry, and manna fell from heaven. The Lord supplies them with food. Yes. Amen. Now journeying from the wilderness into the wilderness, they get to a place called Rephidim. See, that's a type of the desert. You know, they're in the perfect will of God, and they're traveling along, and they've been faced with all these trials and these tribulations, but the Lord's brought them through each and every one of them. But they get to another place, another storm, another trial, and they give up on God. They forget all about where the Lord had brought them from, and they get to the place which it's Rephidim. It's called, you know, it's the top of the desert. Amen. They get to this place and they can't find water, and they can't find their faith in God. Boy, how many times in the short 2 years I've been serving the Lord, Brother Dills, I found my place in that area. Yeah, I mean, I can look back and know just the short period of time that I've known the Lord, how He's changed my life. And I'll go through a little bump in the road, and I'll lose my faith in God. I'll lose my whole concentration, and I'll be off out in Egypt again. Maybe some of you can relate this evening. Yes, sir. But they get to this place, and they've lost their faith in God. They've lost direction. They've just lost it. Somewhere during this journey, they'd forgotten that God had originated this journey since day one. I mean, they had forgotten that God had brought them out of Egypt. And can I tell you, good neighbor, that the morning or the night that you got saved, you enlisted yourself on this journey that God originated thousands of years ago. Yes. I'm talking about He knows what He's doing. Yes. He knew what He was doing back then. They found themselves in a time of struggle or a time of doubt. And you know, Brother Dills, we're living in, I believe it's the Laodicean church age, I mean perilous times, and Hey, good neighbor, if you take a stand for the cause of truth and right, if you'll separate your family from the world, sir, you're going to have some persecution. Hey, it's not a popular thing to take a stand against things that this world's got to offer. Hey, but I tell you that that's the only way that you're going to make it home safely. Hey, it's not a popular way. It's not a popular way. But instead of following God and trusting in Him and His leadership and following Moses, the man of God, they started murmuring among one another. And you know, I can look around at the churches in today's hour. When I was a child, old-fashioned churches have now drifted into this contemporary nonsense. They pulled the youth into this stuff that's of the world. They began murmuring within themselves. And it's called Satan to creep into the church house. And he's corrupted the old-time way. We're living in a day where people are confused. Hey, they're going to a psychiatrist, they're going to Dr. Phil, they're going to Dave Ramsey, all this nonsense. Can I tell you that if you stand in need of help this evening, the only place that you need to go is to an old-fashioned altar and call out on God Almighty that can bring you out of the Egypt that He brought these ones out of. Amen? Hey, I'm glad He's still real. But we're living in a day where people's forsaken the old-time way. Boy, I'm thankful for the old-time way. But with the help of God, I want to preach for just a minute. Not going to keep you long. I know it's getting late. But I want to preach for just a minute on the simple thought of what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. Brother Deals called me the other evening and asked me if I'd come and preach for him. And as soon as I hung up the phone, this is what clicked into my head. So I do believe that this is, for somebody in here. But let's take a look at some of this Scripture real quick, and we'll give you five simple things that I believe that'll help you along this way. Number one, I want you to look at God's direction. In verse number one, and it said, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord. Anytime, folk, that the Lord gives you a commandment, that's the way. I want you to notice God's direction. Let me say, where God guides, He provides. Amen. Every single time. God's direction. I want us to look at where the Lord had brought him from. He had brought him out of the bondage of Egypt. Amen. Y'all have read the story. You know, when I got to reading that and I got to thinking about where the Lord had brought me from, I can look back in my high school days and my young adult age, and I can remember being so far out into the world telling myself that this is it. I've had enough. I'm through. But come Friday night again, there I'd be right back out there with that same crowd. I was addicted. Satan had a hold of me and he wasn't going to let go. Hey, but God Almighty come by one night in an old-fashioned meeting. Hey, and He pulled my soul. Psalms 40 verse 2. For He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Look at where they had come from. Hey, won't you look back and realize where the Lord had brought you from? Amen. I mean, there's many of us in here that's been saved for many, many years, and it seems like oftentimes we forget about what the Lord had done for us. Amen. You know, it amazes me that we can trust God with our salvation. I mean, we can trust God with heaven and hell. We can trust God with eternity, but we can't trust God with the simple things. The house payment. We can't trust God with our kids, you know, living a pure life. We can't trust God with a car payment. Hey, won't you just look back, good neighbor, at where the Lord's brought you from? Hey, at what He's done for you. I mean, we're just talking about eternity here. Look at where the Lord's brought you from. Not only that, I want you to look at where you're at. Look at where you're at. It's often been said that you're either going in a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Amen? And it seems like every time that the Lord's really about to do something, of monstrosity in your life, The old waves are raging. Amen. But I want you to look at where you're at this evening, folks. Look at where you're at. I see a family sitting back there. They got their son tucked up underneath their arm. Hey, can I tell you that you could be on that show Cops in a domestic dispute, fighting with one another? Your kids could be out there at DFACS. Mamas and daddies, you know, you could be drunk out on the street, but hey, we're in a Bible-believing church this evening. On our way to heaven. I mean, we're on our way to heaven, folks. Don't get excited or nothing, but I'm talking about while the ages roll. Hey, I'm talking about praising the Lord God Almighty. If you don't get nothing else out of this, you ain't got to go to hell tonight.
Amen.
It ain't that big a deal. You just ain't got to go to hell tonight. Amen. Hey, look at where you're at this evening. Not only that, but I want you to look at where they're headed. We got ahead of ourselves there, but hey, look at where we're headed. We've all had loved ones make the crossing. Boy, I'm encouraged by them bedside stories at the hospital room when the old saint of God makes the crossing. I was listening to Brother Tony Hudson the other week, and he was telling a story about Brother Curtis. Some of y'all may know who I'm talking about. But Brother Curtis was laying on his deathbed, and they had been by his side for 24 hours. In the last 24 hours of Brother Curtis Hudson's life, he laid there and preached for 24 hours straight. Message after message. And Tony said they got to singing them old songs of Zion. And Brother Curtis struggled for his last breath of air, and they thought that he had drifted on over into the promised land, and he sat straight up in the bed. And he said, "Tony, it's real." And he made the crossing. Well, I'm glad it's real this evening.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I'm glad it's real.
Amen.
That's God's direction. I want you to notice, secondly, man's doubt right here in verses number 2 and 3. They got to this place and it seemed like that God had forgot about them.
Yep.
He wasn't going to bring them through this trial. But I'm thankful that the Bible says that He'll never leave us nor forsake
Amen.
Us. Hey, you may be in a storm this evening. It may have been a while since you've heard a fresh word from the man of God. It may have been a while since you've felt the Spirit of God blow by. But that don't mean that He's left you. Notice their doubt. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." I mean, hey, it got so bad that they were going to stone Moses. They got to a place where they were going to kill the man of God because He had led them into a place where there was a small famine or a drought in the land. And you know, I've realized no longer than I've been in this thing that if you follow a true man of God, I'm talking about a Bible-believing, a Spirit-filled man of God, there's going to be some droughts along the way. I mean, the Lord, He'll take you down life's curvy way and a lot of things we don't understand, but hey, I don't think we're supposed to understand all things. The Bible says that His ways are not our ways. Notice thirdly the man's distress right there in verse number 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord saying, "What shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me." Man's distress. See, that's a lonely place right there. You may be in a place this evening, a lonely place. I can remember in November of last year, I was working for a contractor for Habersham Electric, and I got to work one morning and the Lord smote my heart. I can take you to the exact yard that I was sitting in when He spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but I could just feel it in my soul, Brother Dills. He said, "You need to quit your job." I thought, man, the Bible says try the spirits, you know. Well, I was trying the spirits. Well, as the day progressed, it just became more of a reality. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, I can't explain it. But by the end of the day, the Lord had made my mind up that I was going to quit my job. So the next morning, I come in and I gave my 2 weeks' notice. After that 2 weeks was up, I went home and I didn't know what I was going to do, Brother Dills. But I began reading my Bible. And from November of 2011 until March of 2012, from daylight to dark, I didn't come out of my room. All I done was sit at my desk and read my Bible. I made me an old-fashioned prayer altar on the back side of the property, and I made me a path, and I wore it out every single day. And for 6 or 7 months, however long that span was, 6 months I believe it was, my family had thought I had lost my mind. I mean, I thought I'd lost my mind. I mean, I've had a job since I was 10 years old, and I just up and quit all of a sudden. Started reading my Bible. I got a pair of them earphones, you know, that you shoot deer apples with, and I'd put them things on at night so I didn't hear the dogs bark, and I'd just sit in my room and read. But in March of this past year, the Lord lifted that burden off of me, and I couldn't study to save my life. I'd went through a new phase in my Christian walk. See, I didn't know nothing about this. And when He lifted that burden, I mean, I was in distress. You go from reading 14 hours a day to not even being able to flip your Bible open. I was in a panic mode. I didn't understand what was going on. Had no earthly idea. Some of you here this evening may be in that same situation. Family stuff going on, I don't know. Stuff at work that you just don't understand. Hey, but can I tell you that just right around the curve, that distress will be over with. About 4 weeks ago, me and my grandpa was fishing, and right after I got saved, my mom started helping me try to better myself, so I started applying for all these jobs, and you know, it never would work out, Brother Dills. Let me tell you why. It was because I was running from my call to preach. I was running from the Lord. But after I surrendered my life to the Lord, He began, you know, guide me along the way, but anyway, after these 6 months of studying, I got into this new walk of the Christian life, and you know, I was trying to find the Lord, and I forgot all about them jobs that I'd applied for 2 years early. Forgot all about them. Me and my grandpa was out on the lake one day fishing, and my phone rings. And it's the PR man for the Department of Transportation. He says, "Mr. McKay, we've been going over some applications, and we want you to come in for an interview." 2 years later, folks. And I'm telling you this because it ain't nothing that I've done, folks. It's God Almighty that done this for me. Hey, and what He's done for me, He can do for you. He's no respecter of person. Man's distress, that's a lonely place, see though. That time that I had to go through. Maybe you're going through that time this evening, I don't know. But I can tell you this evening that it's a strengthening time. See, these children of Israel, they were journeying on this way that the Lord had put them on, and it was all because they were headed to a far better place. Hey, but, you know, the Canaan land, that's a promised land, it's a picture of heaven, but they had obstacles to face there, amen? Hey, and can I tell you that when we got brought out of Egypt, we're on our way to the promised land, but we're gonna have obstacles to face along this way. And whatever you're facing this evening, it is for a divine reason. Things just don't happen to a child of God. I'm talking if he's walking in the Spirit, in the perfect will of God. He's guided by the hand of the Lord. It's a strengthening time. It's a strengthening time. But fourthly, notice God's deliverance. In verses 5 and 6, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod with thee, and smote us the river, and take in thy hand, and go." I like this next, right here in verse 6, this next phrase. It says, "Behold, I will stand before thee." I'm thankful He's standing before us, amen. "There upon a rock in Horeb, then thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." God's deliverance right there. See, they got to this place and they had gave up on God. Hey, but I'm thankful that the man of God stood in the gap and cried out to God. And the Lord saw fit to come back by and pull them out of this desert and to supply their needs. Hey, I don't know what you're facing this evening, but I do know that, hey, we're living in 2012 and it's perilous times. Hey, everybody's struggling. I mean, good Christian folk are being persecuted on the left hand and on the right hand. Hey, but that same God that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt is the same God that we serve this evening. Hey, He's the same God that came by my pew on that song number 66 out of the Blue Book a while ago. Thank God that there's just one way to the gate. That same God that supplied that one way, hey, is the same God that'll pull you out of that rut you're in this evening. Hey, I don't know what you're faced with this evening. Maybe some of you white-haired saints of the church have got some grandkids that went out into the world. They've went out into some things that you'd have never imagined. Hey, but can I tell you that 24 months ago, you're looking at a man that was out there with that same crowd. Hey, but this evening, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Hey, what He done for me, man, He can do for you. I'm thankful this evening that the same God then is the same God now. Amen. God's deliverance. Five things real quick and we'll go to the house. What to do when you don't know what to do. Number one, look back at verse number 4. Number one, the number one thing you need to do is pray. Look at verse number 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord. That's always a good thing to do.
Sure.
Psalms 126, 5. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
Go something like that.
Yeah.
You need to pray. Matthew 26 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Can I tell you that we're living in a day of temptation? I mean, the young folk, I mean, I feel so sorry for them. I went and picked up my cousin just a few weeks ago at Fairview Elementary. I mean, a kindergartner, sir. He got in the truck, and he started talking about things that I didn't know of nothing in the world about until middle school. I'm talking, he's in kindergarten.
Yeah.
We're faced with temptation on every side. I'm talking about this technology thing has crept into the churches. I mean, these computers, I mean, I'm not preaching against them because, I mean, you can use them for the church, hey. But can I tell you that the Bible says that to give no place to the devil? Hey, that stuff has crept into the church, it's crept into our houses, and the devil has rocked America to sleep.
Yes.
I tell you what we need to do is we need to get back to praying.
Amen.
I mean, we was talking about it, Ms. Deals, before service. About that generation, Brother Deals, and the one before him, how that was a praying generation.
Yeah.
Sir, can I tell you that your generation and my generation don't know a thing in the world about praying?
Right.
I'm talking about, I get around a crowd in today's hour where they'll say, God is great, God is good over the food, and we'll come up here and we'll pray for about 30 or 45 seconds to kick a meeting off. And we'll go back and sit down. But I'm talking about, hey, if you're going to get a hold of God, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. You're going to have to go and get rid of some things at your house and sacrifice that television watching time for some prayer time. You're going to have to sacrifice that trip to town to get back on the backside of the property and cry out to God.
Yep.
You better pray.
I believe that.
I'm talking about you better pray. You better pray. Number two, look at verse number 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on. Number two, that's what we need to do. We need to press on.
Amen.
I grew up in church. I knew right from wrong. I mean, I grew up in an old-fashioned church. Red book singing, old-fashioned. But I'd be lucky to find five people that I went to church with then that is still at that same church this evening. What they've done is they've come to that desert of dry land and they've gave up on God and they've quit. They've backslid on the Lord and you can't find them within 100 miles of the church. They've messed their life up and they've messed the testimony for God up. Hey, I tell you what we need to do this evening is we need to make our mind up that we're going to go on. We need to press on for the Lord. That old song, Press On, it won't be very long. Hey, I'm not looking for a grave, ma'am. I'm looking for the horn to blow. I mean, just any day now, the Lord is appearing. I mean, there's a strange excitement in the air. Amen? I mean, as we scream and yell right now, there's prophecy being fulfilled all over this place that the end times is right now. You go to talking to that religious crowd about this stuff and they'll shut you up real quick. It's going to mess their bank account plans up. It's going to mess their lake house plans up. Hey, but can I tell you that for the real Christian folk, it's a rejoicing hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm looking forward to leaving out of this briar patch. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm talking about we need to press on. We need to press on. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Hey, it's going to pay off before long, people. We'll receive them crowns to cast at the Lord's feet. We need to press on. Thirdly, we need to praise the Lord. Look at verse number 11. Flip over there and look at verse number 11. I believe this will help you. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands. Hey, that's always a good thing to do, is hold your hands up.
Amen.
That Israel prevailed.
Amen.
But notice right here, and when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. See that Amalek, y'all know this, y'all Bible students, that's the type of the flesh. Hey, I tell you, you quit praising the Lord, you pull your hands down, you quit rejoicing. The flesh is going to take over. See, y'all read it a while ago. It says to be sober, be vigilant, the adversary, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't come through them prayers, hey, he can't come through the blood, but when you pull your hands down, quit praising, he's wide open. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Psalms 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalms 105, O give thanks unto the Lord. Psalms 106, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Psalms 111, praise ye the Lord. Psalms 112, praise ye the Lord. Listen, Psalms 113, guess what it says? Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 117, oh praise the Lord all ye nations. Praise Him all ye people, for His mercy, kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
I think we just clarified it that we need to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, I believe a drunk on the streets got the right to praise the Lord just for the air that's in his lungs.
Yep.
Hey, we ought to praise the Lord this evening.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Fourthly, you need to remember the past victories.
Yes,
look at verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial. See, oftentimes, folks, we'll get in this walk with the Lord and we'll sell out to God, but we'll come into that dry desert land and we'll forget what the Lord had done for us, I mean, just the day before. I mean, just the day before. Just the day before, we forget it. I can remember yesterday morning, I was praying before I went to work. God, I was begging God just to let me have an impact on somebody's life. Just a chance, an opportunity to give my testimony to somebody at work. I'm talking about before 8 o'clock, the shop was slap full of the men that I'm surrounded by, and it was a moment of silence. And one of the men asked me what I do in my free time. I said, let me say a word on that. So for 20 minutes, I boasted on what the Lord had done for me, and I had an opportunity to give every one of them men a presentation of the gospel. Hey, but by that evening, I had fought hell by the acre because I'd served the Lord that morning, and I'd forgot all about what had happened that morning. I'd forgot all about it. I got home, and I was mad at me. I was mad at God. I was mad at the world. Mad at everything. I'm through. I quit. I'm through. Got a Bible for sale. I'm through. And the Lord smote my heart. He said, hey, Hoss, you don't remember this morning? I mean, just 12 hours before, the Lord had answered my prayer in a simple way by just being able to help somebody else along the way.
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you, this evening you may be in that storm, the waves are raging all around you.
Yep, yep.
hey, what you need to do is you need to just take a moment and look back at what the Lord's done for you earlier today, last week, last month. Hey, it may have been 20 years ago the night you got saved. If He never done nothing else for us, that's all we need. We don't even deserve that. Hey, but 2,000 years ago, the Bible says that He was bruised. He was wounded and bruised for our transgressions. Hey, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Hey, and by His stripes we're healed. The price has already been paid.
Sure.
That's what we need to do. We need to remember the past victories. Lastly, we need to look at the promises ahead. The children of Israel, they had been brought out of the bondage of Egypt. Y'all have read it. All the ten plagues and all that stuff, the Red Sea. Once again, they got to a place where they met a bump in the road and they lost it. Well, I tell you, that's the way I am. Oftentimes you look up here at preachers and you think that they're just perfect and upright and they never do nothing wrong, but God help us. Oftentimes, boy, I forget about where we headed. Just like yesterday evening. I forgot all about that I'd been saved, and I forgot all about that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I forgot all about that. I'd lost track. Maybe some of you this evening's been in a battle, fighting the devil. Hey, we need to realize where we're headed. It's not a fairy tale, good neighbor. It's a real place. Hey, it's more of a reality than we stand in here this evening. I mean, if a man or a woman lives 70 or 80 years here on earth, that ain't nothing. I'm talking about while the ages roll.
Amen.
While the ages roll. I heard this illustration. Y'all know how big Stone Mountain is down there in Atlanta. You want to take the biggest bird, maybe an eagle or whatever can fly. If that eagle could take the biggest piece of Stone Mountain that he could fly with and fly it all the way to Egypt and back, by the time that he had got Stone Mountain moved, eternity wouldn't even have begun. Look at where we're headed, folks. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Hey, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Hey, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
Yes. Right.
Well, I'm thankful for that. Hey, we need to look at the promises ahead. Some things to do when you don't know what to do. Hey, we're living in a discouraging hour. I mean, persecution everywhere. But can I tell you that God sometimes waits until a hopeless situation to show up? Hey, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. He is. You know, and it's amazing to me what God can do with a broken vessel. But the key to that is He's got to have all the pieces. You may be broken this evening. I don't know. You may be in a place in your life and you're just confused. You don't know which way to go. But there's some things to do when you don't know what to do.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right,
Lord, we're thankful this evening, God, for Your Word. We're thankful, God, that, Lord, You are a very present help in time of trouble. Lord, we're thankful, God, that, Lord, one day, God, You're going to call us out of here, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, You spoke to Your people's hearts this evening, Lord. Maybe there's one in here tonight, Lord, that needed the message. God, I pray, God, that You burned it into their heart, Lord. And God, You gave them some direction on where they need to go. Lord, I thank You, God, for all Your many blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.